Consider the birds of the air and the lilies of the field. How much more readily should conscious, rational beings rest upon that providence? Which of us, by taking thought, can add one cubit to our stature? I could wish that I could be 6'4", but I'm not. I can't change that. God feeds the birds and clothes the lilies. Why then should you be anxious? Our Heavenly Father knows each and every one of our needs. A personal note here, I remember, I say a lot about this at Christmas time. The first Christmas we had together, we didn't have anything but money for a little Christmas tree and a turkey. And that was one of the finest Christmases we had because we had each other and we had something to eat. And it was probably one of the best Christmases I ever had because I understood the full idea of what Christmas really is, not what's thrown underneath the tree or a brand new Lexus with a ribbon tied outside and you see snow falling and I got a brand new car for Christmas. It isn't about that at all. The counsel of the Sermon on the Mount are counsels of perfection, and much of the history of the church consists of the search for striving after that simple perfection of life. In ancient times, St. Matthew, whose festival we keep later this week, will be next week actually, left the receipt of custom, a tax collector, the IRS of the day, to follow the steps of a wandering preacher. We think about that, you know, put a lot of guilt on the apostle. They ran when he was taken in the garden and everything. But how scared must they have been when there's a lot of pressure put on them? So, but St. Matthew takes that step and follows this wandering preacher. St. Anthony the Hermit gave way of all his possessions and betook to himself the deserts of Egypt, renouncing the world of getting and spending. St. Francis of Assisi, the son of an Italian nobleman, embraced Lady Poverty, that he might live as the birds and the lilies, simply in the providence of God. There are endless examples of this, manifold in their character. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. I saw a program this morning on EWTN with this Roman Catholic bishop in Nigeria, talking about the difficulties of militant Muslims preying on killing priests and the devout, the faithful, for simply practicing their Christianity. And that man, like many others, puts his life on the line to keep doing what he's doing, proclaiming the gospel. But these counsels of perfection, what do they mean for us? Are they some kind of beautiful and romantic but impossible dream? Jesus makes it clear that his counsels are for here and now. Listen to what he says at the conclusion of the sermon. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon the house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Of course, Jesus Christ himself is faith. That's what that means. What Jesus intends is a direct and eminently practical lesson about life here and now. And that portion of his sermon, which is today's gospel lesson, is eminently practical lesson about our involvement with this world's concerns and this world's goods, none of which can satisfy. We are so easily seduced into regarding these things as ends in themselves. As I said, that's the impossible dream, seeking enough riches. The riches never have enough. That is what it means to serve mammon. Today's gospel reminds us that the things of this world, however good, are good. Not that they disparage having possessions, but they're not ends in themselves. means toward an end which is spiritual and eternal, knowledge and love of God, God's kingdom, and his righteousness. Mammon is a false god, and the service of mammon is idolatry. It is the essence of idolatry to trust in the things of the world as if they were of final and ultimate significance. They don't last. Idolatry is the worship of worldly things, and it is a subtle but constant, ever-present danger to the spiritual lives of all of us. That's what St. Paul says when he says to the Galatians in today's epistle, "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." The point is not that we should forego or escape from the toils and the satisfactions and the trials of life in this world, but that we should see all these things in their limitations in the perspective of the spiritual end they serve. Who by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? Life is more than reaping and gathering in the barns. The point is that we should see our life and our labors in the context of the providence of Almighty God. That perpetual mercy of today's collect speaks the providence which moves all things firmly and sweetly to their divinely appointed end. And in that perspective, how foolish is all our anxiety. Seek first God's kingdom and his eternal providence, his perpetual mercy, and all will be well. In a few minutes, will you come to his table and refresh your soul and your body with his precious body and precious blood. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen. These are